Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Allison Page, president of Magnolia Network. It's the new TV home of lifestyle mavens Chip and Joanna Gaines. The channel launched this month as a joint venture between the Gaines and Discovery. Magnolia is a rare flower these days, indeed, as a linear cable launch. Actually, a rebrand of Discovery's DIY channel. Page is an HGTV and Food Network veteran who the Gaines turned to when they decided to expand from doing their own shows to curating a steady stream of content in the Magnolia spirit. The Gaines run a home design, media, and retail empire out of Waco, Texas. They became home renovation superstars through the HGTV series Fixer Upper, but they hit the pause button on TV nearly 5 years ago. Now they've spent the past 3 years working with Page to launch their artisanally crafted cable channel. In the conversation, Page explains how TV fits into the Gaines' thriving ecosystem, likening it to a cozy sweatshirt and a side of comfort food. That's all coming up after the break. And we're back with more from Magnolia President Allison Page.
Allison Page, president of Magnolia Network. Thank you so much for joining me today from Knoxville, Tennessee, where you are snowed in, I understand.
Yes, thank you for having me in this very exciting week. It's a great way to end the week.
Why, at a time when the entire world is obsessed with streaming and on-demand and all kinds of new distribution channels, why was one of television's oldest now, you know, old-fashioned cable television, why was it important for Magnolia to have that linear presence now?
Well, I'd say it's so fascinating that the very first thing we talked about is the very last thing we got to launching this week with the linear channel on Wednesday the 5th. And those conversations started over 3 years ago. And the idea seemed crazy then and perhaps even crazier now. And I think that actually was a piece of what spoke to Chip and Joe. They are interested in the less taken path and things that seem crazy and things that the average person would advise them against that makes them interested in trying. And there was something and is something, I think, about this brand that felt like linear television would be a great home for it. And it turned out to be one of the homes. And ultimately, what we want to do is make great programming that can reach people in a lot of different places. But this was the first place we talked about, and again, the last place we wound up finally launching, and it feels great.
I can imagine. What was it like for you having, I know you have been in the Discovery and Food Network HGTV world for a while. What was it like for you having been developing this for so long to be scrolling through your, you know, scrolling the old-fashioned cable listings grid and seeing Magnolia as one of the offerings?
It felt so exciting, and it felt like this moment, there were points at which I wondered, are we actually going to get there? And I knew from the outset, it might take a little longer than what we were talking about. It was like, oh, we could do this in a year, 18 months. And having spent time at HGTV and Food for years and years, it takes a long time to develop great programming and make lots of episodes of it. But no one could have predicted quite how long it would take. So I think there were moments I questioned what would happen on this platform, not questioning the idea of the network or the idea of this brand of programming, but wondering if, you know, when we'd get back to this place. And, you know, it was really heartening. I actually got a few texts and calls from friends last night who were watching. We premiered a show called The Lost Kitchen. And interestingly, these are friends that have Discovery Plus, but have not watched the show there. I think linear television and certain channels, they're like a really comfortable sweatshirt that you reach for time and again, even if you have a lot of other beautiful options in your closet. You know it's going to feel good, and that's why it's a staple. And I think we gave a lot of people like a new cozy sweatshirt this week.
For sure. And then the weather across the country, it was a good week to get a cozy sweatshirt.
Yes, yes.
For sure. Let's take a step back a little bit. And so Magnolia, the brand, has been in development as a 24/7 kind of 360 television brand, has been in development for about 3 years. And then along with the Discovery Plus launch in January 2021, not too long afterwards, the Magnolia imprint appeared there on that platform.
Yes.
And you started a feed of programming. But would you say that the scale and the volume has risen now with the linear launch? Does having a 24/7 linear channel have even more demand for content?
It absolutely has more demand, and that's also a reflection of why it came last in the order of things. When you think of what conceptually is a network in a streaming environment, I guess it's what you say it is. And for us, it was ultimately what is a well-rounded group of shows that expresses the depth and breadth of what we want to do. And really, July was when we felt like we had enough programming and enough complete seasons to put on what we call, a network. At the same time, in streaming, you click through and find the show you want to watch, and that is a different responsibility than 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so recognizing what, 300 episodes or 300 hours of programming can get you across a year, we had originally planned to launch in October of 2020 on linear. And what we realized in the spring of 2020 when COVID hit was we actually had enough for day one. We had enough for maybe day five. We didn't have enough for probably day 15. So it was saying, you start on day one in linear and you can't stack a bunch of programs together that are all premieres. You put on one episode of Fixer Upper Welcome Home, and then next week you put the next episode and you can repeat the prior episode. But right. So with 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, and I think 10 or 12 programs premiering on linear within the first week, if those are half hour or hour long shows, you do the math, you add that up, and that's a relatively small percentage of the entire schedule. So I think the network feels like Magnolia Network now, and part of that is the strategy around promotion and advertising and branding. But it's going to feel even more like Magnolia the further we get into it and the more shows that we get on. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about it in this season. As you said, I think this turned out to be a great week to launch. And as difficult as things are right now in so many ways, this feels like a place to turn for inspiration and ideas and hope and humor. So I think we've got a good season ahead.
Well, I think, given, I think Chip said it well, that it wasn't planned, but it's not coincidental that a network with this kind of message at this moment in time launched on January 5th. 2022, just as we went into trying to make sense of the 1 year anniversary of just one of the most heartbreaking things that this country has seen in its entire history. I want to ask you about something because I think it's so interesting for our times. When you say you knew you had enough for day one, maybe even day five, but not day 15, what's the math that you use to kind of figure that out? How do you know how much programming is enough, or on a linear sense, is it just simply like you see it on a grid and you realize you can't repeat that show that quickly?
I would say I look at number of series and we look at number of episodes within that series. So traditionally, cable and broadcast often pick up in orders of 13 or 26. I think that that rule's gone a little bit out the window, and you see a lot of shows with 6 episodes or 8 episodes or 10 episodes, maybe in a season. I think you get under 6 and it's kind of hard to call it a series. And so what I meant in terms of not day 15 is we had Restoration Road with Clint Harp in production, and we had 2 shows that would be delivered by that time. And episode 3, 4, 5, and 6 were delayed because of COVID. And so that's what I mean in the sense of we would not have a new premiere episode. And I think on linear in particular, you're putting a lot of marketing and heft, I think, behind launching these series. And you hope to create the expectation, I can come every Wednesday night at 9 and see this show and see a new episode. And you can repeat that a number of places, but you don't want to do all the work of getting people to that time period and then only give them, you know, a few weeks of having it there. I think that would have been really difficult.
Is brand integration, is brand placement a significant component for the network?
It really isn't. And I think that people expected that it would be, maybe particularly in something like her cooking show, but Joanna has always had a real aversion to content that feels salesy. So the connection is subtle, and it requires, if someone wants to buy something, you have to go to the shop section in either the website or the app. And once you're there, the connection is very clear that you saw this in the show. But if you're coming to watch, we don't assume you want to buy anything. And we don't want you to feel like we're selling you hard on anything. We want you to have a pleasant experience watching what you're watching. And if you prove that you're interested and want to come around on the other side and buy something, we'll try to make that easy and fun and simple. But it's not something you see overtly in the programming. And I don't think you will, because that's been true with them forever since I've known them.
No zooming in on the brand logo.
None of that. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Let me ask you, I know you that you have been, you know, you've been in cable for a long time. Is it different to launch a new something, like, you know, something especially with the scope and the kind of the you know, brand promise going in as a Magnolia? Is it easier in any way or different to launch, to do a relaunch? You are, you know, refitting the existing DIY network that was part of the Discovery family for a long time. Is that different than a wholly launch a channel from scratch? Or is it pretty much the same thing? You're just, because you really are taking it down to the studs, and the DIY network was no more at once you flipped the switch 9 o'clock on January, 9 p.m. Eastern, January 5th on the Magnolia Network.
That is a good question. And when I look back historically, I think primarily you see rebrands in more recent years, and not too many in recent years. But, you know, when I look back to something like OWN being rebranded from Discovery Health, and I think they had a harder hill to climb in some ways, given the real difference between what Discovery Health was as a brand and what OWN was going to be. And so the choice of DIY was deliberate, not just from the size and scale of the network, but also from the nature of the content. And they aren't the same, but, you know, maybe they're cousins. And I think we learned a lot from the Discovery experience, and deliberately looked at trying to create really a bridge. So we put repeats of Fixer Upper on Saturdays, you know, months ago when we started putting in some of Andrew Zimmern's library. He has a show with us called Family Dinner, which is new, but he has a lot of library content in the Discovery library. So we started kind of seeding that on air. We picked up new seasons of existing shows like Maine Cabin Masters or Barnwood Builders. So it was this idea of not having a light switch moment, and could we kind of both carry an audience over and welcome a new audience in. When you said starting from scratch, I thought, well, gosh, what if that was possible? And I guess I think it would look similar, because what you'd basically be doing is building a network with X amount of new programming and then library and acquisition content. So you look within, you know, Discovery, whatever company you are, where there's you know, very low cost or free programming, and then acquisitions, and then kind of placing your new shows. And again, that the percentage of that on the schedule will just increase and increase over time with the kind of new Magnolia originals, but creating an environment that they seamlessly fit in from the get-go involves some strategy and a lot of conversation and thought.
Yeah. I mean, turning their particular brand, their ethos, if you will, into a curated network, a curated stream of content, and kind of, you know, like-minded, you know, artisans and craftspeople, you know, no small challenge. And the Gaineses are interesting because they were, you know, they came up and were just became red hot stars on HGTV. The Gaineses are, The Gaines' story is so special because, of course, they came up and became red hot stars on HGTV and were just kind of going up, up, and up. But we're like, as they were telling people, like, we're also business people and we're a family in Waco. And it, in 2017, they said that, you know, that they needed to tap the brakes and take a break from their TV career, which is so stunning to so many people. But and I think at that time that began a process of discussions with Discovery about what would become as they took that break and come out mm-hmm. now with an even, you know, a curated network, almost kind of in the own model. Can you talk about what as those conversations about coming back with something even with much bigger in scope, what were the first things that were done? How did you start the process of developing what is now the Magnolia Network?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, in 2017, when they announced they really wanted to take a break, it was really about a year between when they told the network and when the conversations with it, and at that point, the company was Scripps. And within a year later, you know, summer 17 and then summer 18 is when we started meetings, and you know, the desire for a break was real and sincere, and there were at that point a number of people knocking on the door, which is no surprise given the success that they'd had, and they were open to taking meetings but not actively pursuing anything, and I think it's as likely as not that they wouldn't have done it. And I think that lack of, oh, we got to be on TV is part of what's appealing about them, frankly. And I think what was really interesting was a little less the idea of something built on Fixer Upper, and I'd say more the Magnolia Journal, probably, in that Fixer Upper represented one strand of the brand, and obviously incredibly important and made a lot of other things possible. But in terms of the breadth of the stories and the categories and nature of the content, you saw that pretty well reflected in Magnolia Journal at that time. So, you know, maybe not directly, but I think it was kind of indirectly one of the inspirations of what is a media entity that involves us, but is not 100% or even 50%, you know, hosted by Chip and Joe. They were much more excited about telling other people's stories than their own. I mean, I think understanding that there was a real interest and passion for their work, but I think they're particularly interested in the other stories. So I think a lot of entities were coming at them, you know, what do you want to do with us? And this was, what do you want to build that we can help you build your vision beyond just you fixing up a house or designing a room? So I think that was that got us the second meeting, and then there were a lot more following that. But the idea of building something that was beyond Fixer, and as you might suspect, I think the audience at that point, when first hearing about it, assumed this would be the Fixer Upper channel or HGTV Lite or DIY Squared, and while again there are elements of those things, it's broader and it's more multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you spent some time in Waco really kind of soaking up all the, you know, the on the ground vibe there.
I did. When I left HGTV in 2018 to kind of start this process with them, I decided, you know, being on the ground was important. So my kids and my husband, we moved to Waco for the summer. And I think there's just something invaluable about walking the halls and having coffee with the woman who works on social and the some of the writers for the magazine, and integrating as much as possible, because it is, you know, a singular brand with a lot of facets, and I wanted it to feel as integrated as possible, and I knew that the network would really benefit from all these voices, all these experiences, all these stories. And basically a lot of people who had worked closely with Chip and Joe for a long time, so could help us on a daily basis get a sense of what was on brand, what wasn't on brand, because in some cases it wasn't as obvious as you might think on day one. And we were tackling something so large, would they like this cabin or not this cabin? Would they like this cook or that cook? Would they, you know, so having a lot of time with that group was I think helpful to me and helpful to our team.
For sure.
And it's really hot in Waco in the summer.
I can imagine, probably.
Because my kids remind me.
Well, probably an unforgettable summer for your family, for sure.
It was. Next time I'm going in the winter.
Gotcha. I was curious, how much is there a lot of coordination among the magazine and their social feeds and the television and their, you know, their very active e-commerce business?
They are separate teams, but at the kind of leadership level, we are meeting on talking on a daily basis. So as you might imagine, the theme of a quarterly magazine ultimately can hopefully correspond to some of what we're doing on air and, items going on the menu at Magnolia Table in a certain season. It's such a seasonally driven brand. And I think that was probably true before the magazine, but in looking at the magazine coming out quarterly, I think Joanna gets a lot of inspiration from the seasons, from the change of season, and kind of aligning that ethos with the network, I think makes it all feel more cohesive.
Don't touch that podcast dial. We'll be right back with more from Magnolia President Allison Page. And we're back with more from Magnolia President Allison Page.
Back to the linear nature of now the new Magnolia. I know from talking to Joe, it's really important to her. She feels like that this is an attempt to with this content to try to facilitate, foster some multi-generational co-viewing around the old-fashioned television set. Is that something that you guys are tracking? Is that a metric that's important to you for Magnolia Network?
I'd say we're trying to reach the broadest audience possible. From an ad sales perspective, there's a real focus on adults 25 to 54, but I think Chip and Joe are more interested in, they're as interested in an 80-year-old as a 20-year-old as a 5-year-old. And I think they are interested in that multi-generational experience. And not only that, but I think having viewers leave feeling empowered and inspired and not drained and feeling that so much of consuming media can feel draining, and that this be a place where maybe you take it literally or maybe you don't take it literally, but you watch a gardening show and or a painting show, and we have a lot of that coming as well, that you'll go try something. And it sounds counterintuitive to hope someone turns off television and goes and does something, but I think that is the hope, and then hopefully you'll come back and want to watch something as well. The idea, we use the phrase sometimes, time well spent. And I think that idea invites people in and it says there's value in big and small moments, that we value your time. And if you give it to us, we'll do our best to make it meaningful. And again, leave you feeling hopeful and inspired.
Would you say that in terms of just on a pure ad sales basis, would you say that doing business, are we kind of in a post ratings environment, given that, ratings are so fractional these days? As you sell Magnolia, are you really selling the brand, the environment, for a certain advertiser, you just know it doesn't get better than this couple and the world that they build. Do you kind of sell it that way? Or are you still selling the rating that, the demo ratings is as small as they are these days?
Some of both, but probably more of the latter. And I believe that the advertisers most interested in being here are interested in being part of it rather than a specific time frame or a specific show or specific night, with perhaps the exception of Fixer Upper. So I do think there's interest in just being associated with the brand. We had advertisers who partnering with us who wanted to wait until January 5th versus January 4th or 3rd or 2nd. And DIY was from an ad sales perspective, a very successful network given its size. upscale and also family friendly. But there was, I think, given interest in Chip and Joe and Magnolia, that grew even higher, and it had already been at a high place again for a network that is this size. So we see people buying the network as much as individual hours or programs.
Mm-hmm. What is your sense about the kind of the bigger picture for the linear world? A lot of people are saying that there's like maybe a 5 to 10 year time frame, and it may be, you know, the overall audience base might be down as into the 50s or 40 millions. Is that your sense as a, you know, as an industry veteran?
I think there's no question that that's the direction it's going. I don't purport to have an answer on when it would be. I probably would have given a different answer of what that was 5 years ago or 3 years ago or even a year ago. And I've been really struck being given the opportunity to launch in streaming first. And I should say, we're very happy with the performance there, and of nearly 3,000 titles on the platform of Discovery Plus, Fixer Upper and Magnolia Table were two of the top five of all programs on Discovery Plus last year. So I don't want to take anything away from something that is both critical, important, and a giant piece of the future. And we know people are coming there. But I do think the streaming environment has that burden of choice that is not there for linear, where, again, you come in and turn it on and leave it on. And so that's very exciting to me, that's one piece of what we get to do now. And you're right, the ratings are smaller and smaller. But as someone who hasn't had that daily report card for 3 years now, I'm kind of excited, frankly, there's so much to learn. I think of it as listening to the audience, reading the ratings every day and saying, I want to watch this show after this show, and four episodes in a row is about right, or six episodes. So there's a lot of art and science, I think, in linear television. And I've lived in, I guess, a world more of art for a while now, and I'm excited to balance those again, because I'm excited to bring people even more of what they turn out to love the most.
How much do you coordinate the scheduling and timing how much do you plan to coordinate the scheduling and timing among the linear and the streaming? Do you try to consciously try to bring people from one to the other at a certain times, or?
I don't have the answer for that yet, but I think we'll have a better answer for you in 3 months. We're in a unique position in that we've premiered a good deal of programming since July in a streaming environment, all of which we want to get on linear. And we want to space out enough, as we said earlier, that I'm not putting four episodes of Restoration Road all premiered on a night. So introducing week by week individual episodes. At some point, we'll catch up. You know, we'll have put everything on that's there. We'll also, in the meantime, have premiered new shows, whether it's shows like Main Cabin Masters that have been there, or we have acquisitions of French Chef starting next week, and This Old House, and but also new, I'll call them Magnolia Originals, premiering on linear, I think, down the road, and some simultaneous concurrent titles. So we've got a little bit of time to sort of catch up, if you will, and also, we have the benefit of all of the other networks in Discovery's portfolio having lived through this for a year of what does it mean to put, what series do you put on Discovery Plus first? What do you save for linear first? What can you do concurrent without without hurting either? And I'm excited to see what we can learn being in both platforms, because I feel like we have some insight into one piece of the puzzle, and now we're getting the other pieces put in. So and if I'm good to share, we got I asked for ratings that came in 30 minutes before we got to talk today, so we have two days of ratings. This just in, which is that Magnolia ranked as a top 25 cable network on Wednesday. We were number 23, and just for comparison, to put that in some context, DIY finished 2021 as the number 62 cable network. So that gives some idea of moving from 62 to 23.
The two of them together have about 20 million social media followers. So that does count for something.
That does. It helps. No, it helped. For all viewers 18 plus, we were a top 10 cable network for the night. And then last night, which was also encouraging, Lost Kitchen premiered to ratings that were 3 times as high as the prior six-week average for the Thursday 9 p.m. time period. And Thursday night was up the whole night, more than 250% over the prior 6 weeks. So very early days, don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but having that data coming in, overnight is exciting, encouraging, and again, feels like the piece we didn't yet have, and getting to put that against both performance on Discovery Plus and the app, and adding it in is we see the bigger picture, we reach the broadest audience possible, and I think then we start to build a strategy around what goes where, when.
Yeah, and a lot of opportunity. You've got a lot of real estate for experimentation.
Yes.
Are there international iterations of Magnolia coming? Of course, Discovery Plus is a global, is, destined to be a global platform.
Yes, it is in the process of being in lots of places. It's interesting. We get a lot of consumer questions and demand, particularly from Canada, the UK, Australia, and we Discovery Plus now is in Canada and Brazil and the UK and a number of other markets. And you see that largely for us, the visibility is really on social, and even customer service, where people are writing in and calling in and saying, like, I want to see this content. And I'm excited. I don't know how to anticipate what we'll do where, seeing how important kind of local programming is in different markets, but also thinking I think we have a lot of stuff that that will be consumed and loved in lots of different places. And we've seen some of that just with Fixer Upper and other home and food programming that's been distributed around the world by Discovery for quite a while.
Allison, let me ask you one personal question.
Yeah.
What was it? What would you say? Look back in your career. What was the breakthrough moment, or the job, or the experience that got you to where you are now?
I would say it was being a broadcast associate at CBS News Sunday Morning. I had been at a different part of CBS in news productions, which made programming largely for cable, and I enjoyed that too. But Sunday Morning was the first staff job that I had, so it was exciting to get health benefits and more than that, I loved the show, and I realized I'm in the right place there. And what I mean by that is positive programming that inspires and makes you feel warm and fuzzy, and just a lot of smart people and a really big range of kinds of stories. And I got a call in 2001 about a job at Food Network, which I wasn't looking to move, but at the same time, I'll say those Saturday nights and Sunday mornings at 4 a.m., I mean, those are tough. And I thought I could do this for a while, but I don't know if I want to do it in 20 years, and maybe I should try this. And I got to Food Network, and September 11th happened about a month and a half later. And I came in to work that day, and I had this feeling of, what am I doing? I think I'm supposed to be at news and kind of out doing more. People went home at 5 o'clock, and it was a different environment. And I remember next week reading we actually got some letters at the time of people feeling such appreciation for the comfort food, if you will, that Food Network was providing, and essentially putting on a different pair of glasses for myself and realizing this was a good fit for me too. And then same with HGTV, and in some ways, Magnolia for me feels a little bit like Sunday Morning did, just such a broad range of, I love hearing how much people love it and the inspiration and joy and warmth it gives to them, and realize that there's a lot of kind of programming that is a good fit for me, but that really was born at Sunday Morning.
Allison Page, thank you so much for taking time out from launching a network to talk to us about one of my favorite subjects, Magnolia, and the good world that comes. comfort food television can mean and bring to people. I am a devoted practitioner, and I really appreciate your time and all your good work over the years.
Thank you, Cynthia. This has been so much fun.
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.